Good Tuesday, everybody. Welcome in. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, Nick Kieser here with you, broadcasting live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. I hope you are having the best day you possibly can to start this Tuesday. Michelle, good morning.
Morning. Good afternoon, actually, for me.
Yeah, it is afternoon for you, I guess. Great job this morning filling for Joe Rex Road. Hope you didn't mute too much sitting in that
not
chair.
Not one. But I might jinx myself for this show we have.
Yeah. And you know, this show, I mean, it's interesting. There's no playbook on how to navigate these waters that we're currently in. And, you know, we go back yesterday when you and I are on the show, and it was about 10:30 or so when reports started getting out. And, you know, admittedly, it was very hard for me to concentrate because some initial reports were wrong. But the general location of the school, of the, you know, where everything took place, the Covenant School yesterday, I actually went to elementary school across the street. Mm-hmm. And so that was, you know, obviously got my attention and was hard to concentrate. And you know, and then we started getting the reports of where it was and what was happening and all of that. And it just, as I just said to you before we went on the air, you know, I kind of felt like I was in a daze all day yesterday, with everything. But, you know, just thoughts and prayers to all the victims of the shooting yesterday. Like I said, there's no playbook on how you handle this. I mean, you know, Jared and I talked some during the day yesterday of like, what do we do? You know, do we do the show? Do we go to news? And it's just, there's no perfect answer to that. And I want to commend our team here at 102.5 The Game for handling it the best that they could. I know there's a lot of different emotions, and I heard you and Robbie talking about it this morning because, mm-hmm. you know, I've had 24 hours to, okay, what am I going to say? You know, and you know, I don't get into political conversations. I don't want to get into political conversations. That's not what this is. There's always going to be that. That's, you know,
these two are separate.
Very, like the thing that I want to focus on is the people and the school and our city, and that, you know, we're all hurting today. We're hurting for those families. We're hurting for you know, those victims of the teachers and the children that, you know, didn't come home. And I, you know, I said this to a few people yesterday. My mom's been a teacher longer than I've been alive, and, you know, teaches that age, you know, elementary school. And I have never once in all those years, even, you know, when there would be things that happen in other states, I've never worried about her safety until yesterday. And, you know, I just all day long, I couldn't concentrate, and, you know, we were talking and I knew she was fine and her school was fine and all of that. But, you know, it was, there was just that, I got to go hug my mom. So that's what I did. And,
well,
you know,
Jason,
it was emotional.
To your point, you know, the unfortunate truth is that we've seen this happen way too much recently around our country. I mean, Michigan State, the college up there, yeah, just a couple weeks ago. You know, we've seen these things happen far, far too often as of recent. And, you know, sometimes when you see it on the news and you see it's far away from you, it doesn't register as much because we've seen it happen so much. I'm not saying it's not incredibly tragic, but then, you know, to be on the air and have something happen in your community, it's alarming, it's scary, it's terrifying, and so many, you know, thoughts go out and prayers go out to, you know, the families of these victims and the families who didn't know what was happening yesterday when, you know, their kids were in there, and all the kids who lived through this. And there was a Channel 4 reporter, and I don't know her name off the top of my head, but she was reporting yesterday, and she said she lived through a school shooting.
Yeah, I saw
and
that.
And for, you know, these to be happening and people now experiencing two in their lifetime, I mean, it's so incredibly tragic. Thank you to the, you know, Nashville Police Department who were able to get on scene and stop more from happening and more tragedy from happening. But I think it's important, too, that, you know, we remember these people in our community, because oftentimes we have time pass, and if you're not directly affected by it, you start to forget. And I think it's important that, you know, we don't forget these people's names and these young kids who had so much life ahead of them, and, you know, these teachers who had probably grandkids and families of their own, so much life ahead of them too. Because it's a problem, and nobody should be afraid to go to work or to go to school and send their kids to school or say goodbye and that be the last time. So, you know, hugged your loved ones today, and I think there's going to be a vigil for this in Mount Juliet. It's been on some of the news stations this morning. So
yeah, and I know a lot of places are doing things, which is, you know, that's what this city is. You know, when we're down, everybody picks everybody back up. But you mentioned the police officers, 4-year veteran with Metro Police Department Rex Engelbert and Michael Collazo, a 9-year veteran. They were part of the team of first responders that got there and neutralized the shooter and, you know, saved lives. I mean, it's a tragedy. There's no other way to put it. But as you said, they got there as quickly as they possibly could. The response time there, and so you know, Metro Police did their job yesterday, and they deserve a big thank you for that. And you know, watching all the news coverage, and you know, it, growing up in the city, you know, Don Aaron is somebody that, you know, you get used to, you see him on your TV. Unfortunately, generally when you do, it means something really big's gone down. And, you know, he was, of course, a Metro Police spokesperson and was on it yesterday. And I remember, you know, when McNair happened, he was the guy that you look to in the floods and the bombing and, you know, everything. He's that voice. But, you know, it just, and it's one of those things. It's like I got home and I was watching it here, and it's, I eventually just, I had to just shut everything off and, you know, just, I tried to watch wrestling just to get my mind off things, and that didn't really work. And so I just kind of shut everything off and just kind of sat there with my thoughts. So
that's
kind of what you have to do sometimes.
It is. And, you know, I called my mom, and Robbie and I were talking about this morning. And, you know, Robbie has a kid on the way. And I talked to my mom about, you know, kids one day, the terror some parents have, you know, sending their young kids to school, any kid, college, you know, elementary, middle school, because we've seen this happen far too many times. So, you know, thinking of everybody today, you know, impacted by it, it sometimes feels weird to talk about sports, you know, while all this is going on. But sometimes I know people need a break from the hard news, and sports can be your outlet when, you know, you just can't watch the news anymore because of the tragedy and how upsetting it is. So sports can be an outlet. We're going to try, you know, get through the show today. But thinking of everybody throughout this whole grieving process, and if there's any, you know, breaking news regarding this, we obviously will address it
here
on the show.
Sure, of course we will. And, you know, we use this as an outlet, too, if you know, if you all want to weigh in and want to leave politics out of it. That's not what this is about. That's not what we are. You know, but obviously, a lot of people affected by this, and you always have an outlet here on this station and on this show. But, you know, we're going to do what we do, best as we can, and, keep it going and try and, you know, give everybody an outlet to think about something else, but also keeping everything top of mind. So,
exactly.
Thoughts and prayers, and I'm a big prayer guy, and I don't mind saying that, and I think that it's very important in times like these, you know, to do that, because it does work. So thoughts and prayers continued for everybody affected with yesterday's tragedy. So with that, we will talk a little bit of sports. You know, something we'll get into a little more later in more detail, but I saw this last night with from Paul Kaharsky, paulkaharsky.com, who will join Robbie and Rextro tomorrow at 8. But he did report that the Titans' new stadium now won't open until 2027. Initial reports had been 2026.
Yep.
Looking like since things are still going through legislation, the window to potentially have it ready for 2026 is now closed. So it'll be another year because the city city council and sports authority approval of the Titans Stadium is expected at the end of April, and the franchise Metro Nashville then can start things, but. You do have to, they would have to wait basically until next off season to really start. They can put the ceremonial shovel in the ground, as Paul puts it in his article, but
unsurprising.
Yeah, no, I kind of thought that's what it was going to be.
I actually was thinking in my head, 2026, I feel like that's right around the corner. I feel like that's actually really soon, because we were addressing some of the legislation that was going through last week and, a couple weeks ago. So unsurprising, but it also gives more time to build a team that when that opens, you can feel confident in the roster, right? New GM and Rand Carthon. So hopefully the team will be at a successful start when that arena.
I'm going to ask you a loaded question.
Oh, goodness. Here we go. This.
Is Mike Vrabel the head coach?
Yes.
In 2027?
Yes. He will be the head coach. If he is the coach of an NFL team, it will be the Tennessee Titans.
Because that's where I was going with that.
Leaving college open.
I don't think he will be.
Oh, gosh. We're bringing up the article again.
I just have a funny feeling about that. I don't think he gets fired. I just think that I'm curious of the direction of this team. And as we talked about yesterday with Jonathan Hutton, nobody knows the direction of this team. Prime example, anytime the quarterback comes up and somebody from that organization gives an answer, I kind of do the dog, with his head, and I go, huh? We'll discuss that coming up next. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Michelle Knesbitt with you. Join 102.5 The Game and the Preds Energy team at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs this Thursday, March 30th, for the Preds Road Watch Party as your Nashville Predators take on the Pittsburgh Penguins. Stop by, enjoy Brewhouse South 70 beers on tap, classic American menu along with Cajun Southwestern Island comfort food. That's 102.5 The Game and Preds Energy team at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Talking about the Titans, 615-737-1025, and what's going on with Ryan Tannehill. Now, I guess I still believe that Ryan Tannehill is going to be the starting quarterback of the Tennessee Titans. I don't believe Lamar Jackson is going to be the starting quarterback of the Tennessee Titans. Mm-hmm. I don't believe C.J. Stroud. I don't believe Bryce Young. And I'll stop there.
You're drinking the
I maybe Will Levis, maybe question mark.
Hendon Hooker.
But even if they were to draft Will Levis, if he fell to 11 or maybe they move up a couple spots, I still think Ryan Tannehill is the starting quarterback for the Tennessee Titans. I definitely think that. But whenever Mike Vrabel or Rand Carthon get asked about him, I don't walk away going like, all right, cool, done with that. We don't have to talk about that anymore. I walk away going like, well, crap, now I got to talk about it because I don't understand the answers. First of all, here was Mike Vrabel yesterday at the coach's breakfast at the or coffee with Vrabel, as some people were calling it, at the owner's meetings when asked about Tannehill as a starter.
Of course. I mean, of course we would. That's – We're in March, we're continuing to build a football team, the best football team we can. And Ryan's healthy, he's getting healthy. I would say that he's putting the work in. It's been good to see him around the building. We always expect that. But to make predictions, I think I've been through this last year. I'm not going to commit to anybody being on roster on September. You know what I mean? I've seen it change too quickly. And of course that. We want Ryan as our quarterback, and everybody else that's helped us win. That's what we want.
I don't foresee trading A.J. Brown.
There's that word.
That's what comes to mind with that, is that, and in some ways, I think it is smart to maybe go that route and leave the door cracked open in case you need to go out of it. But he's committal, non-committal, and that's kind of how he has been. Now, Paul Kaharsky of PaulKaharsky.com asked Rand Carthon the same question about Ryan Tannehill and what might happen with him.
I'll be honest with you, like in terms of looking for more language, I don't know what more we can say that can, you know, substantiate what everybody wants to hear or whatever the case may be. You know, Ryan has done a great job. He's been in the building. He went on a brief family vacation with his wife and kids. He's been back in the building working hard, working diligent. And it's just like anything else, man. I mean, guys have to earn it on the grass. You know, and I think that's adding context to what Rabe said. Like, you can go out and you can – it's very rare that you should come into this season with a starting 11 that ends as the starting 11, you know, at the end of the year. So, I mean, I don't know what more to say, what more to talk about in terms of Ryan. Ryan and I, we've had, you know, multiple conversations. He's in a really good place, and I feel we're in a really good place.
You thinking of Malika as the backup at this point? I know you need a third arm at least for camp, but – you think he's in position, or you hope that he'll be in position to be the number two?
Yeah, that's the hope, you know. But again, just like everybody else, Malik's got to go out and earn it. I think Malik's had a great offseason. I think he's attacked it. He stepped up in terms of a leader and what that looks like to be an NFL quarterback. I think he's grown. But again, just like everybody else, once we're out officially on the grass, he has to go out and earn it like everyone else.
I thought Nissan Stadium was going to have turf this year, but whatever. No, I like Rand Carthon and his way with words. And I'll get to the point on Malik in a second too. But here's the deal: they're committing but being non-committal all at the same time with this, because I think they're leaving themselves an open door. You don't say that Patrick Mahomes has to go earn it on the grass.
Or Joe Burrow, or Brady,
or Aaron Rodgers. You know, like you're not saying that about those guys. You're saying that about, you know, Ryan Tannehill and an Alex Smith and, you know, those guys that you're still got question marks about. You know, Tampa's going to say that about. I mean, they're probably going to say that about Baker Mayfield, even though it would appear. You know, that he's going to come in and be the starter. But I guess there could be a competition with him and Kyle Trask. But that's my point, is that they're leaving themselves some wiggle room just in case something happens, in case something falls in their lap.
Well, and, you know, as much as I don't think that Lamar Jackson would come here, I definitely think that after the draft, it's something you take a look at, because – you know, it's a step up at quarterback. I think if you have those conversations and you think, yeah, no, not worth it, not worth the contract, not worth the first two round picks, okay, then that's fine. But we all know what happened when Mike Vrabel said that, you know, he will coach A.J. Brown for the rest of his career, or the line was something along, as long as I'm the coach here, A.J. will be playing for me. And we all know then what happened at the NFL draft. And I think that was more of a John Robinson decision. You saw the way Mike Vrabel reacted in that moment. So I think probably since then he's been like, okay, well, I'm not going to say something like that so committal, because at the end of the day, you know, whether it be players that are requesting trades, whether it be somebody falling in the draft, whether it be, you know, somebody looking to get out of their current situation. So I think that you can tell that Rand and Vrabel are like, okay, this is what we're going to say because we're going to get asked it. And I was talking to Robbie this morning and I said, welcome to Nashville media, Rand. Uh-huh. You're going to get asked about Tannehill every time we have an opportunity to talk to you, because, I mean, we've only heard from him three times: when he got announced as the GM, the combine, and now at the owner's meeting. And, I mean, he said, I don't really know what else to say in that clip.
Sure.
Because they probably are at the point where, yeah, if something doesn't crazy happen, like maybe we are interested in Lamar. I don't know, but they're not ready to be like, okay, yeah, 100% on record, he is our starting quarterback no matter what.
I think it's less that and more if someone falls to them in the draft and they decide they're going to take him in the draft.
Yeah.
That's what I think it is. And then, so, you know, I've seen some mocks where Will Levis has fallen.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's say Will Levis falls to 11 and he's there and they like him and they decide, you know what? We got Andre Dillard. He's going to be our left tackle. Let's go ahead and draft our quarterback of the future. The moment that that pick is in and they announce, then Roger Goodell walks across the stage and says, with the 11th pick in the 2023 NFL draft, the Tennessee Titans select quarterback Will Levis, Kentucky. All the speculation is going to be, okay, is it a battle? Is he going to sit behind Tannehill? Is the job open? What does this mean for Malik Willis? I mean, he gone. That like all that stuff, you know, that is going to begin the moment that pick happens on all our shows, on ESPN, yeah, whatever. And so I think that's why they're going this route, because it's like we don't foresee him not being the starter, but what if something happens? I mean, even though it ultimately cost J-Rob his job, him using that word foresee did leave him some wiggle room with the AJ Brown trade.
No, it definitely did. I mean, I understand that will be the conversation on national media. But if Ryan Tannehill is still on this team, he's your starting quarterback. Even if you draft Will Levis at 11 or you draft the quarterback at 11, maybe Anthony Richardson falls, I don't know. But if the Tennessee Titans draft a quarterback at 11 and Ryan Tannehill is still on your team and you are paying him that contract, he is your starting quarterback.
Yeah.
So I guess those could be options. The reason I say, you know, they're not committing to him being the starter is, you know, what if the Jets try to go get Lamar and Aaron's open? Would you try to, you know, would you look at that? Maybe your roster is more full. Would you be open to something like that? I mean, we can say we know what's going to happen right now. The Jets and the Packers, Charles Robinson came out with an article. They are not. I do not believe they are close to a deal. Hey, I could be wrong.
Well, supposedly,
in 30 minutes, they could have a deal.
Brian Gutekunst said on Monday that he hadn't talked to Rodgers, that they've tried to reach out to him, but he won't return their calls. And Rodgers made it sound like they had a conversation. It's like,
yeah, basically what he said was, yeah, what he said on Pat McAfee, not really how it went down. And, you know, there's two sides of every story, true somewhere in between.
Oh, I knew the moment Aaron opened his mouth. I'm like, well, okay.
He's like, story time. I'm like, oh, gosh, here we go. But, I mean,
this is what he dreamt in the dark room.
Remember how much movement we had last year? And, I mean, none of us could have foreseen A.J. Brown getting traded on draft night. That's why I think, you know, as a new GM and this team's getting a new vibe, I just think that they're non-committal on a lot of different things. I mean, even the Kevin Byard comments. I know he said, hey, he's under contract. That's still non-committal.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think that's kind of where they have to be right now. Mm-hmm. It's annoying. It's good for us. It gives us something to talk about. But, you know, I just think they're still trying to figure some stuff out. I mean, you're right. You mentioned the Kevin Byard stuff. You know, Vrabel goes to the old standby comment of he's under contract, which is, okay, that's true, Mike. Thank you. And then, you know, Carthon said that I saw the video of it, but he told, you know, Jim Wyatt as well that he talked to him. He talked to the representation. Nobody's asked for a release. They're still trying to figure some stuff out, which doesn't deny that they asked him to take a pay cut. I think they definitely asked him to take a pay cut, but it's where they are, you know, on that. Now, Byard's the one that, if you decided that you just absolutely can't get this figured out and you got to move on, I do think there's value in a trade.
I agree.
So, you know, as much as I'd hate to see him go, and look, I'm not one that, you know, I know why they're asking him for a pay cut. It's because of the position and he's an aging player, but I also think he's earned the right to say no if they ask. You know, I think too many times places get caught up in like, you know, that shows leadership. I'm like, no, that's
just restructure
you,
him.
That's just you, CYA. That's what that is.
I mean, the reason his contract is the way it is because they pushed it back so far.
Right.
Restructure him again.
Give him an extension like he asked for and move it down the line. So, you know, there obviously will be more with that in the next few weeks. But is the unpredictability for the Titans somewhat a good thing as we continue in this offseason? We'll discuss that coming up next. It's Chase and Michelle, 615-737-1025 if you want to weigh in on 1025-1063 The Game. Chase and Michelle, 1025-1063 The Game. Max Herz will join us at 945. Talk some Predators with him. As right now, talking about the Titans, the unpredictability with this Titans team was something that we kind of got into yesterday. You can weigh in anytime on our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com at 615-737-1025. And, you know, I look at it as, and it's, again, I use this phrase, it's good for us because it gives us something to talk about. Because not to go too much inside baseball, because I hate it when radio people do that, but it's Jared. But this is a tough time of year. I mean, you're looking at mock drafts and all that stuff. But the Titans keep giving us things to talk about because, you know, they've made free agent signings on the cheap. Okay, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. You know, Paul Kaharsky reports that the stadium probably won't open until 2027. Okay, what does that mean? Obviously, they'll start paying for things, you know, before then, but does that mean that this rebuild, reset, whatever they're in, is going to last to then? Or does it last a couple years and then we see, you know, the franchise quarterback comes in, what have you? I mean, there's just a lot of what ifs with this team. So it's interesting and it's fun to discuss, but, you know, I know for me, I'm getting to the point where I want to start to kind of see what it looks like at the end of the tunnel. Jonathan Hutton yesterday was on our show, as he joins us every Monday at 10:30, and talked about the Titans' direction and unpredictability. The Titans, the odds on him are 50-1 for the Titans to take him. Whether that means he drops to 11 or that means they got to move up to go get him, I think they would have to move up to go get him. But what would you think about that if they were to, in fact, make that move?
I'm not making a move to go get him. I was going to ask, where are we drafting him here? If he's at 11, mm-hmm. Look, I'm fine with it. I don't hate Will Levis. I just don't understand why Mel Kiper wants to marry the guy. He is so in on Will Levis as the top quarterback. And he was in November, and he continues to mention point differential doesn't matter, and interceptions, seven of those were tip ball. I mean, we can say that about any quarterback. And with Kiper overanalyzing this guy, he's not the top quarterback in this draft as we sit here currently. Mm-hmm. And if you want to go full ceiling, highest ceiling is Anthony Richardson. It's not Levis. So, and that's just based on traits and size and skill and everything. But he also has the lowest floor. Let me throw that in there too. Guys, I think the Titans are the most unpredictable team right now in the draft.
Big yes. time.
You mentioned and I think it's been that way for a couple of weeks, actually, because they're sitting back waiting to see what happens with some other teams, see what they did in free agency, what do they have in the draft, and then whenever they get past June 1st, they can still make moves to their roster to save salary cap space based on how they feel about the rookie class coming in and building off of what was a solid draft last year.
That was Jonathan Hutton yesterday. And that phrase of, I think this team is the most unpredictable, that is how I feel.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, as a fan, it's frustrating because it's like, just give me a little bit of what's going on. And, you know, on March 28th, you don't necessarily have to know, but I look at other teams that are successful and, you know, they're competing for a Super Bowl every year. And it's not just, you know, fighting for a spot to get in or playing in a bad division or what have you. You know, they kind of know, yeah, no, I pretty much know what's going to happen with Kansas City because mm-hmm. we got Mahomes and Andy Reid.
Well, it comes down to the quarterback position.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the teams in this year's draft, it's clear the Panthers traded up. They're going to draft a quarterback at 1. Houston at 2. They're going to draft a quarterback. Arizona is sitting in that 3rd overall pick. Monty Austenfort has already come forward to say, you know, we are willing to hear all options for people who want to trade up. We don't need a quarterback. They've got Kyler Murray. 4 Four is the Colts or the Seahawks. They're 4 and 5. I forget who's where, but, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if the Seahawks wanted to try to draft a quarterback. They got Geno now, but could they try to draft a guy and develop him for the next 2 years? So, and then you keep going down the list, and I think what makes the Tennessee Titans so interesting but also very hard to decipher what they're going to do is you have a new general manager who has never had a general manager role before. This is his first time, so you've never seen him, you know, be a part of a draft. Other than, well, he's been a part of, you know, the 49ers draft and some of the later picks, but never been the main guy in charge. And, you know, this is a very unique quarterback position because you have a guy who has he's a fine option. But you look at the Tennessee Titans, and up until this past year, they were in their window. And then for it to drop off so much with the loss of your best wide receiver, and then Ryan Tannehill gets hurt, and the offensive line was atrocious this year. And you've addressed the offensive line, but there's still no committal to Tannehill. I mean, I look at all of the other quarterbacks in the AFC, and I can strongly say who their quarterback is going to be next year, or if they're going to draft one, and whoever that prospect may be. And I can look at a lot of teams in the NFC too and say, okay, yeah, you know, Jared Goff, Lions, Kirk, Vikings. But Tennessee is one of the teams, and I would need to pull up a list of all the teams in front of me, but they're one of the teams that I have no idea if Ryan Tannehill is going to be their quarterback. I think, like, I would put it at a 79% chance that he will be the starting quarterback, but I'm very confused just based off the moves they've made. Will they draft a guy? I don't know. But it makes it interesting, and there's a lot of different options. And now Lamar, you know, that whole situation is happening, and Aaron Rodgers is still a big question mark on if they'll actually get the deal done with the Jets. So those could be viable options as well. The draft is only a month away.
I know, I can't wait.
I need to bring back this audio of us saying I have no idea what's going to happen. Then it needs to be like, okay, this team traded for this and this and this, and Lamar's not on the Ravens and all this stuff. But it comes down to the quarterback position, Chase.
Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, these teams, these fans of – the Bengals and the Chiefs, you know, Eagles, even to an extent, you know, they don't have to worry. 615-737-1025. Sam wants to weigh in on Kevin Byard and the Titans. Sam, welcome in. All right, let's try this again. Sam, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay, thanks for the intro. what I was thinking is in regards to the Kevin Byard situation, I'm thinking you could actually use Kevin Byard as a piece with obtaining a high-level receiver. And I'm thinking with Cincinnati losing Jesse Bates, you could maybe trade Byard to Cincinnati and get T. Higgins in return, maybe for, like, you know, some picks or something in return. But you could use Kevin Byard for a piece as far as obtaining a receiver, because I just don't understand the lack of movement as far as obtaining a receiver and just getting a bunch of rookies to supplant what we had previously in the, you know, last year. I don't know if that's the option, you know, that would be good going forward. So just want to see what you guys think about that.
All right, thanks for the call, Sam. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Sam.
Look, in theory, I would love that, but I don't see that happening because, you know, I heard you say this morning, I've seen the reports of, I think Joe Burrow would probably work with the Bengals so he can keep everybody.
And if that's the case, and you're an AFC team, you better be scared.
Yeah.
Because if Joe Burrow's going to pull a Brady and he's going to, you know, work to get that team-friendly deal so he can keep his top two wide receivers on his team, and Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, who are also looking to get those second contracts, those big contracts, then those three are going to be dangerous as, you know, they move through their NFL careers. But in theory, I love the idea. Maybe not a guy like T. Higgins, but maybe a Mike Evans in Tampa. Could you figure out something like that, or put a package together for maybe another wide receiver, maybe Jerry Jeudy? I know Sean Payton said, you know, I don't know where this came from, we're not giving up Jerry Jeudy, but, you know, could you package it together to get maybe another proven wide receiver who's not on the back end of their career?
Join 102.5 The Game for the second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament benefiting Souls for Souls on June 7th at Hermitage Golf Course. Put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebs to support a great cause and have loads of fun. Plus, you'll have the chance to win awesome prizes. Sign up to play, sponsor, or donate at thegamenashville.com/golf. Coming up next, we'll talk to Max Herz. Nashville Predators back in action tonight against the Boston Bruins. We'll do that next. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
It's time for the Daily Power Play. The Predators and the NHL.
With a shot that stopped by Searle.
Now on Chase and Michelle.
Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic here with you. Let's say hello to Max Herz, who will be a part of or hosting pregame tonight starting at 5 o'clock as the Predators take on the Boston Bruins. Max, what's up?
Morning, team.
Morning.
All right, so obviously the homestand, the last two games didn't go the way the Predators had planned, but I think we all know the situation that, one, Toronto's one of the better teams in the league. Seattle's fighting for a spot as well in these Western Conference playoffs. Now they got to play Boston tonight, and oh, by the way, they're doing it without Philip Forsberg, Roman Josi, Ryan Johansson, Matt Duchene is somebody that's now been banged up. So obviously things stacked against them, yet we're still seeing a lot of improvement and good play from the young guys. What's kind of your thoughts on where they sit right now?
Yeah, two things based off what you said. First and foremost, I do not think we can possibly overstate the caliber of the players that are out. Their three best goal scorers left on the team post-trade deadline, Forsberg, now Duchene, and Johansson. Their best player, Roman Josi, Ryan McDonough was out for a lot of this time, and a guy who, as your fourth defenseman, really makes that group a lot better when he's in the right slot, and Alex Carrier. And then I think we've already forgotten, because we were so used to seeing him every night and now just haven't seen him, how good Yusuf Parsonen was and how much stability he brought to the forward group in a variety of different roles with a variety of different line mates at center. And he played some power play time. He was someone who they wanted to integrate into the penalty kill as the season went on, and I think they probably would have gotten him there down the stretch if he were still playing. So they're really missing a lot. And despite those limitations, they are playing close to complete games against these really good teams. Seattle, they just gave it away in a 4 goals against in a 9-minute stretch. And then in Toronto, I thought they had to kill way more penalty time than they should have. I thought 4 of the 5 calls against the Preds on Sunday were really, really soft stick violations. And I strongly disagreed with 2 of them, especially. So, I mean, if it weren't for those 2 things, they're right there with these teams and they're missing 6 immensely valuable players.
Max Herz is with us. Yeah, and I agree with that. And the interesting part of, if you look at where they are in the standings, they're 5 points out of a playoff spot, which is basically what they have been, you know, really for the last several weeks. They just can't seem to make up any ground. But they also have Vancouver that's well behind them in the standings. So that's kind of where they are. And you know, it unless something really, really changes, it's likely to be where they finish. As the season is winding down. So I look at it as they've done their plan. They've gotten draft picks. They're still in contention to make the playoffs. Anything else that's good is just gravy at this point for them, based on the young guys getting the production and the way that they're playing.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, I think it's safe to say they are the 10th best team in the Western Conference right now. And if they end up in the top 8 and get a playoff spot, which is still possible, it would be amazing. And it would be an extreme overachievement. So I think with the current players that they're playing every night, even with Juuse Saros in there as arguably the 2nd best goalie in the league behind the dude we're going to face tonight, Linus Ullmark, I think it's fair to say that this current group, with all they're missing, as 10th in the Western Conference is a pretty fair result.
Max Herz joins us right now. Max, we had David Poile on earlier this morning, and he credited these young guys, which has been, you know, the main topic after the trade deadline. And You know, if you look at the Predators' opening night lineup, Forsberg injured, Granlund traded, Duchene injured, Nina Ryder traded, Johansson injured. Okay, you've got Sherwood, Trenin and Sissons, Janot traded, Smith, Glass, Tolvanen waived, Yossi injured, Carrier injured, Ekholm traded, McDonough, Burrow injured, Fabro and Saros. So, you know, when you look at the lineup they started with this season, it is very, very different to the lineup that they have currently constructed. When you take a look at what this team has been able to do and the fact that they are still fighting for a playoff spot, although hard, you know, to secure one, who do you credit more for that success? The coaches or the players stepping up night in and night out, Max?
That's a good question. I mean, both groups definitely get credit.
Yeah, of course.
I think I would probably credit the players if I had to pick which group I would give more credit to, just because of the extra things that so many of these players have had to do. I mean, there have been games where Tyson Barry, who's been on the team for 3 weeks, has had to wear a letter as an alternate captain.
Yeah.
And that speaks to how much of the leadership has been out. Not that Tyson Barry doesn't deserve to be a member of the leadership group, but he just joined the team. So that's how it's going right now. And I think without the leadership, the presence of especially Colton Sissons and Ryan McDonough has been massive to make sure that the team, obviously this goes without saying, that the team is still trying to win. That's the most important thing, that they kept them trying to win. But also I think they've given the younger half of the room a really high comfort level, which is really valuable, because as players come up to make their debuts, often they're kind of on a solo mission and maybe they feel a little left out, especially if they're a foreign player and English isn't their first language and things like that. But it's almost like the room is half and half right now. The guys who are 25 and younger, and then the guys who are more established. And it's so funny to see, because the young guys are not bashful about cracking jokes in there and letting their personality show and leading the team in their own special way. And I think, obviously, Yossi captaining the team through most of this gets a ton of credit for that. But since he's been out, I think Sissons and McDonough deserve a lot of credit, too. So I think across the board, the players are really comfortable right now. And it shows in somebody like Sherwood, who had a flash right at the beginning of the season on opening day, and then just was not playing his game. And now he's come back, and in this current team climate, he is like the one guy whose game never slumps for the Preds. So it's been interesting to watch kind of how everyone has fit in individually.
And, you know, discussing some of the main guys that have been injured or out for this team, that, I mean, Duchene, Forsberg, Yossi, McDonough for a period of time, and then you add in maybe some of the younger guys like Tommy Novak and Cody Glass, Juuso Parsonen has been hurt. What do you think some of these lines could look like next year for the Nashville Predators? Mm-hmm. And who do you think as a young guy has solidified a starting top six job for this team, Max?
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. And I keep like, I don't know. You need to think about Ryan Johansson first, because we lost Johansson right around the trade deadline. Like, it almost feels like he was traded, which is so sad to think about, because obviously he's not traded. He's still on the team. He's around every day. So it first and foremost starts with, what does Ryan Johansson's role look like as the top center on this team? Is he still going to be with Matt Duchene with those two guys next season? I think that's the first thing you want to figure out. And then who would be the second winger to play with them? Could it be someone like Tomasino? Mm-hmm. And then my next question would be, who do you like with Parsonen? Because he played with pretty much everybody. And Philip Forsberg loved playing with him. So if you don't load up Forsberg, Johansson, Duchene, your three best veterans on a line, I think you think about pairing Forsberg with someone like Parsonen. And then what do you do with Glass? You probably want to keep Glass at center. Do you also keep Novak at center? Do you think about Novak maybe trying a wing? So I think a lot of things are in play. And then you've got Tomasino, Evangelista, Afanasyev in terms of guys who I think could push for the top six. And with Matt Duchene out, I would love to see Igor Afanasyev in the top six down the stretch this year to see what he looks like.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. Max, appreciate it. I know, you know, things obviously tough in our city right now. But we'll be listening tonight at 5 o'clock when you have pregame.
Yeah, thank you guys. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Max Herz will be on pregame starting at 5 is the Predators' take on the Boston Bruins. We'll continue the Predators' talk coming up next because now the injuries have been mounting up. And David Poile was on with Robbie and Michelle earlier today and spoke on that a little bit. We'll discuss that coming up next. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.